Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the May 2023 Youth Education Conference held in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Welcome. Who here brought their phone today? Okay, that's a good number. I know not everyone has one. We're going to do a little introduction. You know what? Get your phones out real quick. We'll get ready. I'm going to introduce myself first, and then we'll jump into that. So, who am I? I'm a children's librarian. I work in Baltimore, so... You know, a favorite part of my day is doing story time. I know all the little nursery rhymes, all the books. So this is what a daily trip to the library looks like for me. Lots of books. I have a master's in library science. I never wanted to get a master's. Seemed like the worst thing anyone could do to themselves. But when I finished my bachelor's, I thought, I want to work in a library. I want to be a librarian. I need a master's. So I got my master's degree. I have two cats. I am the librarian. I have my cardigan. I have my bookmarks are for Quidditch shirt. I have two cats, Maxwell and Junior. This cat is feral and crazy. This cat's the sweetest cat you've ever met. Yes. And this is my husband, Nate. He's wonderful. If you're in our dating panel, also feral. If you're in our dating panel this morning, you might have heard a lot of crazy stories about us. All right, you know, while we're on the subject, because I think that's enough about me. Who here likes cats? We're going to do cats and dogs. Who here likes dogs? Oh, that was about 50-50. All right, if you had to have pancakes or waffles for breakfast, who would pick pancakes? Who would pick waffles? Okay, that's way more waffles. Let's throw in, if I change that to French toast, would you change your answer to French toast? Okay, go off French toast lovers. I'm going to have two people share. This is just like a who are you. Two people share. What's a weird fact that you know?
About us?
No, just about anything. Corey, what's a weird fact that you know?
The human genome was completely synchronized in 2009.
2009. Whole sequence. We know it all. All right, one more fact in the back.
The lion that plays baby Simba in The Lion King is actually female.
Second fact. Great. All right. Now bring your phones out. Okay, this is called Mentimeter, so take your phones out, if you have one, and go to menti.com, M-E-N-T-I.com, and don't worry, we don't have a phone, the person next to you is going to have a phone, and it's going to all work out. So here's the code, 54737496, and you're going to do just this, you're going to type in your favorite book, submit. All right, Les Mis. Stormlight Archives, Warcross, Keeper of the Lost Cities, Divergent. You can put in another one. Yeah, you can put in multiple. Fablehaven, the Book of Mormon. Someone put the Book of Mormon in there. That's a good choice. You'll notice that the bigger ones, that means more than one person has their favorite book as that. So we have a couple of Fablehavens. Harry Potter, Narnia, A Little Princess, aww. Wings of Fire, Little Women, Goose Girl, I love Goose Girl, one of my favorites.
Wings of Fire is my favorite.
And you know what? Someone else loves it. It's getting bigger. Unless you're just putting it in multiple times. That's possible. All right. We're going to do like 10 more seconds. Albeit the Hedgehog. Anne of Green Gables. The False Prince. Also a good one. I love the False Prince. All right. If you can hear me, put your hands on your head. I'm clearly a children's librarian. If you can hear me, put your hands on your lap. If you can hear me, put your hands on your elbows. Come on, guys, these are your elbows. Goodness gracious. Okay, so these are all of our favorite books. Pretty good collection. think that's pretty great. Percy Jackson, love it. I really do like The False Prince. That's a really good one. Okay, I'm going to ask you one more question. We're going to take a little bit less time for this one, but I think it's important. Where do you get book recommendations from? Your friends? Yeah. Cousins? Siblings? Did you want to answer in the red shirt?
Mom.
Mom! I love it! Family? Goodreads! Don't throw Goodreads up in there. Nick, you throw Goodreads up in there. Literally anyone. Who's going to read a book from literally anyone? Love it. I love it. Librarians? Who put librarians? Bonus points. Here, have a piece of candy.
Yes.
You're going to say that? Oh, go ahead. Church friends. Previously read books. That's a really good one. Something you've read before and it's like recommended. Instagram. Isn't like a book TikTok a thing now? I will say, when doing this presentation, we did use ChatGPT to help us find books. So, I love that mom is getting bigger. I do love that. My mom doesn't read, so I never get recommendations from my mom. She doesn't like to read. All right, thank you for doing that with me. Oh, if you can hear me, put your hands on your head. I'm going to make you do it over and over again. You'll get used to it. Okay. So, that's who you are. A little bit about, I think knowing someone's favorite book is a window to their soul. Just kidding. That would be really dark if you're like, my favorite book is, looks like a horror book. Stephen King. That's my soul. Okay. And what are you doing here? So, I just want two people. How much time do I have? Yeah, I want two people to answer this question. Why did you choose this class?
I'm currently working and writing a book at the moment, so...
Do you want to share anything about it?
There's too complicated.
Okay. What genre?
Fantasy.
Fantasy. Love it. Okay, and you?
I'm going to be
here
because I love reading and all the other classes were bad.
Okay. Don't shake. Thank you, Lance. All right, I'm just going to take two. I know we'll get around to everybody. I have quite a few pieces of candy, so.
Good.
All right. Loved reading. Good answer. Came here for the candy. Yeah, you knew there was candy, and you were like, I'll be there.
No, I didn't actually know.
So, today's topic, as you saw, was on mirrors, windows, and sliding glass doors, the power of a book. So, there was an article and a phrase coined by Dr. Rudine Bishop. And that was that books act as mirrors, they act as windows, and they act as sliding glass doors. And that's what gives them power. So let's go over mirrors real quick. And don't worry, we're going to do more interactive stuff later. So if you do want to chime in at the end of this slide, I'll give you a chance to chime in. And in the next slide, there'll be plenty of opportunities. So books act as mirrors because we can see our own lives and experiences as part of a larger human experience. So reading is a form of self-affirmation. It gives us value. It gives us confidence. We see how we fit into the world. I also like this quote. Can I get someone to read this for me in the scriptures? Let's do someone I haven't called on in the blue shirt.
In the scriptures, man finds that he belongs to a force with God in his heart. The only such a whole gives him a sense and value of his own soul. But seeing in relation to God reveals his dependence.
Thank you. That was well read. I like people that read nice and slow, like the words matter, because they do. I chose them for a reason. So this is about scriptures. We're not necessarily talking about scriptures, although the scriptures are a book. But I really liked how it says, in the scriptures, which is a book, man finds that he belongs to a whole. So when we read, we find that we belong to a whole human experience. We do not exist alone, and we see ourselves reflected in that. And then we also see how we are in relation to other people. So we have our own value and how we relate to other people. So I put in the, you know, up here, value, belonging, identity, wholeness. That's how books act as a mirror. So we're going to do something called think, pair, share. You've probably heard of it before. Everyone's going to think. Then you're going to talk to your neighbors and pair. And then you're going to share with the group. So I want you to think about a book that has acted as a mirror for you. You've read this book and you thought, oh my gosh, this is me. Like, this is totally me. While you think, let me give you an example. So I have two, a funny one and a serious one. So I was reading a book by one of my favorite authors, K.M. Shea, and I start the book. The main character's name is Chloe. That's my name. I was like, great. It's about me. As I'm reading, the first page, find out that she works in a bookstore. I was like, all right. This is, like, actually me. Then I found out that she can turn into a cat. And I was like, okay, K.M. Shea is stalking me. This is now getting creepy. And then literally on the third page, her favorite food is donuts. And I, like, threw the phone and I was like, oh my gosh, this is terrifying because this is me. So that was my funny one. A more serious one is I read a picture book just 2 days ago about a girl who goes to a food pantry with her mom. And it's all about just how it's just about her experience, how she got into line, she drew pictures, she went into the food pantry, she got some food with her mom, and then when she left, someone else that was there that she knew, they got together and they made food. And though I was not like this character in every single way, my family did use the Bishop Storehouse growing up. We didn't have, my dad lost his job for a couple of years, and so I saw myself reflected in that book. I saw myself in that little girl. Okay, so you've had a second to think about a book. Now share with someone next to you the book that acted as a mirror for you. And if you want to share why, you can, but you don't have to. All right, take a few seconds. Okay, I need three volunteers. What was that? I heard that. I need three volunteers to share with me the book that acted as a mirror for you. And if you want to and feel comfortable, can you share why?
A book that related to me, it was Little Women, because I feel like the people in my family really, like, can fit up with those characters, not necessarily the ages, but the characters themselves. I feel like they can really
love that. Thank you, Little Woman. Feel like you match up with the characters. Let's just do these three. Yeah, you and then you.
Penderwicks, my family. Okay. Creepily likes all four sisters.
Okay, which one are you?
Jane, the third one.
I have read that, but it was like when I think that's an older book, right?
I think so.
Penderwicks? I think I read that when I was younger than you. Yes.
Me, the Stormlight Archives, specifically The Rhythm of War, because of the human experience which the characters have.
Do you want to dive into that just like a little bit further?
There's spoilers.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Never mind. Thank you. That was very considerate of you. Just know, human experience. Yeah, okay. I'm glad you thought about that. This is not a class of spoilers. We're not here to ruin things. Okay. Unless we are. The second... I hear everything, just so you know. I'm used to working with, like, literally little kids who want you to hear everything they say. So the second way that a book has power is that it can act as a window. So, can I get a volunteer? You were so ready. Can you read that for me?
People can bring different gifts and perspectives, and the wide range of experience and backgrounds and challenges that people face will show us what is really essential in the gospel of Christ. And much of the rest that's been, perhaps, acquired over time and is more cultural than doctrinal can slip away, and we can really learn to be disciples.
Thank you. Does anyone want to... Yeah, you're so ready. What do you want to ask? Also, beautiful reading voice. Thank you. Is there anything you want to add to that or thoughts on it? Or do you just want to read the next one?
Yeah,
okay, go ahead and read the next one. That's fine.
Our differences, in other words, should help us better understand and live the restored gospel of Jesus Christ.
I read this quote and it just hit me. This idea that in the church and in life, everyone has different experiences and different backgrounds. And the more you get to know your neighbor, the more you get to know everyone else around you, the less the church is about like culture and we wear white shirts and ties and more about the doctrine and really being a disciple. Did you have a comment you wanted to share about that?
I don't remember the exact quote, but I remember seeing this somewhere on, I think somewhere through, where comparison leads to the road of sin or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, just like comparison, thief of joy, that kind of stuff. It's a problem.
Like, you, with the difference in gifts and perspectives, you don't know the other side of things.
Yeah.
Not the whole picture.
Yeah,
section of it. It's like, we're all just a separate puzzle piece of, like, how many people are there in the...
Eight billion.
Thank you, people that knew.
Right now, there's probably gonna be more coming.
Yeah, and you know, each person, each of those 8 billion people, is a very different person, and so you won't know everyone's experience. But the thing I love about books is they do act as that window where I can read a book about Oh, I have a good example I'll share in a second. But I have, you can read a book about someone's life maybe you've never experienced, and you can say, like, I might not have experienced that, but I understand now that you have. There's a quote by Aunt Adrienne von Speyer, and it says that the first step in learning to love others is the attempt to understand them. How can you love your neighbors if you don't know them? And yes, talking to them is probably one of the best ways, actually getting to know them. But there are some experiences you might not meet someone who's a refugee. And I just finished a book about, it was a book for kids, and it was wonderful, called When Stars Are Scattered. Highly recommend. Did you read it?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Look at that review. Good book. Thank you. It is a good book. And I might never meet someone I can talk to about that, but I can read about it, and I can experience that window. So I bet you can guess what I'm going to have you do now. We're going to do Think, Pair, Share. Think about a book that acted as a window for you. You got to see someone else's life, learn about them. So then think about it for a second. You're going to share it with your partner. Then we're going to share it with the class. For me, while you think, I was reading this book, and I know I'm not recommending this book. It is a book for adults. It's called Invisible Differences, A Story of Asperger's, Adulting, and Living a Life in Full Color. I read this book, just picked it off the shelf, was curious about it, and probably less than a week later, I was talking to my coworker, and just off the cuff, they mentioned that they were on the spectrum, on the autism spectrum, and they just kind of said it. They didn't dive into it, but I remember reading this book, and there is a concept with people on the spectrum with spoons, so they don't have enough. Like, I might have way more energy to get through the day, and I can do all these social interactions, but for someone on the spectrum, they might have a limited number of spoons, a limited amount of energy they can spend to get through the day. And so I immediately turned around and knew that I'm the manager right now, so it's my responsibility to make sure that my employees are able to work the best way they can. So I read this book. My coworker mentioned that off the cuff. And I made sure they got off desk time, which is when they get to go in the back and work on a project. I had not been giving them time to work on projects. I should have been, but I wasn't. But the second I read this and then heard that, I knew that they needed off desk time so that they could recover and not use all their spoons in one day. And I've noticed a difference. They do seem happier at work. So that's one way a book acted as a window for me. I learned about someone and was able to apply it. All right, had a second to think. Now turn to your partner and share. A book that acted as a window, and maybe how, if you feel comfortable. Oh, we did not share. I need 3 volunteers. If you have already gotten a piece of candy, can someone else volunteer? Because I don't actually know who's gotten candy and who has not. Honor code system. All right, down here in the yellow shirt, can you share a book that acted as a window for you?
It didn't really help me connect with somebody. It's just like a different perspective.
Yes.
Kind of plausible. I mean, it was a fantasy book. But, Six of Crows. It's okay. Certainly not a book for everyone. But I just like seeing other people's perspective and how they, like, work, their thought process.
Love it. Yeah, even just, like, you know, someone else. That's not how I think. But someone else thinks that, and it's valid. Thank you. All right.
The series Warriors.
One more time, Warriors?
It's a series basically because there's different perspectives and different groups.
Okay.
Which basically says that maybe, like, one thing that seems bad to the other is actually a good thing, just hard to tell from without the same perspective.
I like that. There's a lot of us-them mentality in the world, and when you can see that that's not the truth, that's good. All right, one more.
So mine was The Way of Kings.
Way of Kings?
Because, like, at the very first, there's one character who started out hating a bunch of people. I'm not going to tell.
Don't worry. Not going to be any spoilers. And if there are, it's probably a very old book.
Like, there's this guy that hates it. And then,
oh, go on.
It tells a little bit of the backstory. And he started look at the very beginning. He could look at everybody in a different perspective. And then he looked at everybody in another perspective. And then at the very end of the 4 books that are out right now, he changed again.
Okay. So you got to watch someone change.
Yeah, like, no matter, like,
what they say,
you can always change.
I like that. Thank you. That's all I'm going to do for this question, but there's going to be more questions. Oh, actually, I have one more quote I wanted to read really quick. Everyone listen up. It says, unity is not achieved by ignoring and isolating members who seem to be different. Christ's unity is not subtractive, whereby we disregard the significance of our differences. It is additive. We strive to understand, to appreciate, and to integrate our differences in order to carry out the Lord's work. Our efforts to acknowledge and incorporate what makes each of us unique unites us in Christ. So we're not saying, when we say we're all members of the church and we're all united, we're not saying we're all the same. The church is additive. Christ is additive. We're not subtracting anyone's beliefs. And again, books act as a window and give us power to do that. So the last concept coined by Dr. Bishop was sliding glass doors. So the idea behind sliding glass doors is that you can walk through into the book, this world created by the author, and it's like you can experience it. To me, that's the very immersive. That's not just, it's also the immersive aspect of books. Like when you read a fantasy book, you feel like you're in that book. But there's another part of that too. Can I have a volunteer to read that quote right there? Someone who hasn't gotten a piece of candy yet, right back here, ninja in training.
Instead of just viewing another person's culture or experience, glass doors allows you to walk into a story and become part of the world. The goal to make it is to encourage reflection and action. Sliding glass doors is the goal in a religious change of perspective.
Thank you. Wonderfully read. So not only is a sliding glass door an immersive experience, like I feel like I can fly when I read this book, but it's also about how when you enter that book, you leave changed with a new perspective, and you feel like you have really gotten to experience that world. So think, pair, share. Can you think of a book that has acted as a sliding glass door? Maybe it was just so immersive to you that you felt like you could live there or wanted to live there. Or maybe it changed your perspective. So think. For me, that was The Dark Matter of Mona Starr. It's a book. It's a graphic novel. I recommend it. About a girl who is dealing with depression. And the way that it is written, I felt like I was living in her moment and understood her. All right, so think for a second. And now can you share with your partner? Okay, we're going to take two volunteers for this one. How about in the back of the green shirt? Yes, you. Book that's acted as a sliding glass door.
Probably Land of Stories.
Okay, why?
As you start learning more about the book and its characters, it makes you want to jump in there and be a part of the journey and adventure, too.
Love it. Thank you so much. All right, right here.
So, for me, it's any of Brandon Wohl's books that I've read, because he's very expressive, and I just want to jump into the book and be a hero like all the other
people. I like that. You want to...
Wings of Fire, best book series ever.
Best book series ever. I have yet to read it, but I need to.
It is so good. I'm animating it.
I like that. Cool. We're going to move on because we have another activity and a few more slides. Yeah, we're running a little bit low on time. So, if you can hear me, can you put your eyes on me? Just because no one's looking at me. All right, thank you. Okay, so we just talked about how powerful books can be as mirrors, as windows, as sliding glass doors. But there is a problem in the world of children's and YA publishing right now. And it's been a recurring problem for a very long time. Not everyone's perspective has been shown. And that's not because there are not writers who can write about them or people who want to read them, but it's just a problem with, there's an article called The All-White World of Publishing. And so a lot of voices have not been heard. And because these voices are not being like disseminated through books, that means not every child gets to see themselves in books. And not every child gets to read about other people. So there's this infographic. So the Cooperative Children's Book Center, they took 3,100 children's and YA books published in 2018, and they looked at them to see who the main character was and what kind of representation they had. So they noticed that 50% of books that came out in 2018 had a white main character, 27% were animals, and then it goes down from there. 10% featured African-American characters, 7% Asian-Pacific Islander or Asian-Pacific American, 5% Latinx, 1% American Indians or First Nations. What else? Can you take a look at this picture? What do you notice about the picture itself? Just like... Okay, in what? What are they looking in?
Mirrors.
What do you notice about the mirrors?
They get smaller.
They get smaller? They get smaller? Do you notice anything about these mirrors specifically? Hey, that's a good answer. There's a lot of them. They're expensive? Yeah.
He looks different in each of them.
What about on this one? Can you see this one well enough?
Space.
What about this one?
Superhero.
What about that one?
King.
I bring this up. I learned about this last year, 2 years ago. 26 years old, never heard about this. Never knew this was a problem. When I thought back on it, every book on my childhood shelf featured a white character, which is a problem. Because that means I never saw other perspectives. I understood myself as being, it's what shows value. Like my bookshelf showed only one value, only one importance, and that's wrong. And because there are other perspectives, and we see here that a lot of white children get to see themselves in many different ways, whereas someone down here, if you notice, the mirror is not only small, it's also cracked. Sometimes people want to write a perspective about, but they use stereotypes, or they don't do their research, or they don't consult, they don't use a sensitivity reader, and so the mirror is distorted or warped. So it's a very serious problem. But it's not something we can't all work toward fixing. And one way of doing that is by reading, which we all love to do, right? Yeah, exactly. Woo! We all love to read because the more we read books about different perspectives or the more we actually are proactive about seeking different books, the more that publishing company is going to finally publish them. The other issue is not just, this is just... recent stats. The other issue, I want to show, I'm not going to go over this whole thing, but it's getting better. As more people become aware of the problem, more librarians are working to promote more books that are different than what they read as kids. And so the numbers are getting better, but they're not great.
Like when stars are scattered, a lot of them have read.
A lot of you had read When Stars Are Scattered. I had never read anything like that as a kid. And that's partly on me for not seeking it out proactively. My teachers and parents and librarians never brought it up to me. So it's a whole culture that we're working toward. The other aspect of it's not just publishers. It's also on people who are promoting books, librarians, big names. Like I did an audit for a class. So an audit is where you take a look at a list of books and you say, I'm taking down the facts. Here's who wrote this book. Is it a white author? Is it a marginalized voice? Is it someone else? We looked at NPR. Who's heard of NPR before? Okay, not a ton. It's pretty popular. Who's heard of Scholastic? Okay, a lot of you. Telegraph. I'd never heard of Telegraph before. I don't know if you have. Time Magazine. Who's heard of Time Magazine? These are big names, and we looked at their list called 100 Greatest Books for Kids, 100 Best Children's Books of All Time. This is not just this year. This is of all time. And we found that out of these almost 400 books, only 30% had marginalized voices or showed diverse representation, diverse characters. That means that every caregiver that pulls that list off to find a book for their kid is not showing the real power of a book. They're just showing the same story that they've read. And this is not me saying the books we read are a problem at all, because they're not. I love Harry Potter. I love Fablehaven. They're great. There are just other books that we haven't seen and that we should go out and read more books. I'm just saying go read more books, not less. Okay, so don't worry, there's another activity coming up. I know you're itching for it. Finding diverse books, finding powerful books is a proactive process. These are some places you can look. There's award lists, so check out some award lists like the Sydney Taylor Book Award Authentically Portrays Jewish Experience. The Schneider Family Book Award is for books that portray disability. The Pura Belpre Award is for books that are written by a Latinx, someone in the Latinx community, and that talk about that experience. Stonewall Book Awards is for LGBTQ books, and the Coretta Scott King Book Awards go toward a African-American writer who authentically portrays the experience or just writes a really good book. So check out those kind of awards. There's lots of them. Check out this website. It's called diversebooks.org. It's called, you know, their organization is We Need Diverse Books. It's really good. They have tons of really great resources and articles and book recommendations. Good. I think we're perfect on time. Social Justice Books, also a great resource. Down their website, they have an article called Guide for Selecting Anti-Bias Children's Books. So they talk about, okay, I want to read diverse books, but I don't want them to have stereotypes, and I don't want them to have tokenism or invisibility. These are things to look for, and they tell you how to look for that. And then lastly, if your local library is doing it right, they're going to have good book displays, especially, they should have diverse book displays at all times, but especially you can check out book displays during Black History Month, Asian Pacific American Heritage Month, Women's History Month, religious holidays. They usually have some kind of display where you can find a new book to read. So we have 10 minutes. 12 minutes, we are going to do what's called a book talk. As a librarian, I often have to recommend books that I have never read. It's a very fun, very stressful game where someone's like, I really want a book about a horror book like Stephen King, and I've never read horror. And they're like, recommend them to me. And so I pull up a list online, and I'm like, let me sell you this book. It's really good. But I've never read it before, so we're going to practice that today. So let me give an example. Someone give me a – raise your hand. I need a book that you really liked that I maybe haven't read. So try and guess who a book I haven't read. All right, someone I haven't called on. Yes, back here. Tress of the Emerald Sea. Tress of the Emerald – Brandon Sanderson. Okay, so what I'm going to do is you're going to give me 30 seconds to a minute. I'm going to read the summary. I'm going to sell you this book. I'm going to make everyone in this room want to read it. And just know, I have been on my feet and talking all day, so sure, I'm sure going to be great. Tress of the Emerald Sea. Have you heard of it?
No.
No? Okay, trust me, you're going to want to hear about it. This book is about Tress. You know? Of course it is, because it's called Tress in the Emerald Sea. Tress lives on an island, and Tress loves collecting cups. Cups, the coolest of the best things ever. Obviously, we collect them. And she also loves listening to stories that Charlie tells. But one day, Charlie is taken away by his father. Got to go find a bride. And of course, disaster strikes, because disaster always strikes in books. And now Tress has to go seek the sorceress of the deadly midnight sea on the sea where there are pirates and the water is dangerous and deadly. And trust me, you're going to want to read this. It's good. All right. That's the end of that book. Okay. So I need, let's do two. I need two brave volunteers. You're going to have to do what I did. So just now I'm going to give you a book, and you are going to, you may have never heard of it, you're going to recommend it to us. Okay, let's have.
Like in front of everyone.
In front of everyone. You're going to do it in front of everyone.
Public speaking.
With a BYU shirt. Yes, you.
Okay.
Yes, you can come up. And let's have you up here. Okay, so, oh, where'd they go? Oh, they're right here. Okay. Let's do, you're going to read this summary. It's called Aru Shah and the End of Time. So read that, and you're going to give us a little. You can cut it. It's only long because Amazon's was long. Okay, you're going to do this one. It's called, I pulled the wrong one. 1,000 Steps into Night. Okay, we're going to give them like a minute. So our friend over here is reading a summary of Aru Shah, the End of Time. Who's read Lightning Thief? Who loved Lightning Thief? I have a signed copy of Lightning Thief. It's a really good book.
It's such a good book. It's a great book.
Has anyone read anything in the Rick Riordan Presents imprint? Oh, it's Riordan. I'm from San Antonio, which is where he's from, and I met him in person. I have a very strong opinion about his name, clearly. Okay. This. The imprint is a really great way to get into new books, because what the imprint is it's Rick Riordan does not write them. He only puts his name on them so that they get recognition, but they're by marginalized voices, and they're about people, cultures you may not have heard of, or that other people have, and then this is their mirror. So it's really great. So, is Arusha on the end of time ready? It's okay if you're not. You need a second?
All right.
Need a second? I'm going to tell you the other one. The other book is called A Thousand Steps in Tonight. Who's heard of, who's watched the movie El Enchanted or seen the book, read the book? What's the, what are the words? You've read it? So, El Enchanted is about breaking a curse. El Enchanted is about breaking a curse. So is A Thousand Steps in Tonight. And Tracy Chi is a really great author to look out for. So we're going to give them a second. Let me know when you're ready. Are you ready?
I think I'm ready.
Oh my gosh, you're ready. Okay, let's hear A Thousand.
Pronounce his name.
Is it, you know what?
Miyuku?
I think however you say it is going to be good.
Okay, this book, A Thousand Steps in Tonight, is about a girl named Miyuku. Or something like that. Her name is something like that. She is a girl who lives where demons and everyone like that is side by side. Gods, everyone. They're all together. But she starts turning into a demon, and she doesn't want to turn into a demon. So she goes with her friends, a thieving sprite, and a magpie, to figure out what she needs to do. But she doesn't, and but by the time that she's on her quest, she realizes maybe she doesn't want to be, she wants to become a demon. Maybe there are things that a few demons do that she can't do originally. So she has to decide whether or not she becomes a demon or she doesn't become a demon. It's a great book. You guys should read it.
That was amazing. I'm going to trade you. That was amazing. You're ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, hold on. Put the index. You can carry that if you want. All right, let's hear it. Arusha on the End of Time. Why should we read this book?
Okay, so it's about a 12-year-old girl who kind of stretches the truth a little bit, doesn't really tell the whole thing in school to try to get, like, a better status to look more cool and awesome.
Just like you.
What? Seems like they might be related.
Okay. And I'm a homeschooled Lance. I live among my siblings, okay? Okay, and she one day three people come to her home. They're like, we don't believe you. And she lives at a museum, I think. I didn't really get that part, but she lives at a museum or goes to it, and she thinks all the like mythical stuff in it is real. And they're like, we don't believe that. Prove it. So she has to light this lantern that's said to have a curse that she doesn't believe in, but she says she believes in. And it ends up having a curse. That's as far as I'm going to go, because spoilers.
Woo!
But that is why you should read this book. It's interesting.
Woo! That's awesome! Thank you! That was so good!
The potato dies in the end?
Okay. All right. You may have noticed, so the reason I chose those books is because there are popular books we have read and loved, and there are popular great books that are amazing stories that might be by authors we haven't heard of that we should check out.
He Who Flies with Monsters,
100%. There we go. He Who Flies with Monsters. Why should we read it?
Sell it to us.
Why?
You should read He Who Flies with Monsters because the book really immerses you into the main character, Jason Asano, who is dropped into a situation where he's entered into a video game. And if you've ever played a video game, there's lots of monsters, lots of things you have to fight in order to escape that kind of situation. Well, Jason is a character who develops mentally through very, very difficult challenges. So the reason I recommend this book is because seeing that mental development to someone who has to make very difficult moral choices is really, really good for you to learn, because then you're able to advance your learning further and understand that you can make difficult choices and that you can get through really hard things just like Jason did. And he sometimes fails pretty hard. He's not going to be perfect. And you don't need to be perfect either to be a hero.
Woo! That was absolutely amazing. Thank you. All right, that's for you. Sorry, I just threw it at the table. Okay. We have to end, unfortunately. No. We could stay here for another hour. I know. I want to end with one last thought, and it's check your blind spots. So there's a book called The Talk, Conversations About Race, Love, and Truth. It's very good. Multiple authors contribute to it. And Min Lay is one author that contributes to it. And so Min Lay writes a letter to their children, and that they mention that when you're driving, no one is going to say, You don't have to check your blind spots. That's fine. Someone else can check them for you. That is not the truth. Who here can drive? How important is checking your blind spots?
Terribly.
Terribly important. That is probably like a big cause of accidents if you don't check your blind spots. So Minlay writes, it is our responsibility to stay awake and aware, to do our best to see and understand what is not in our immediate line of sight, and to grasp those things that are not immediately apparent to us. So books are so, so, so powerful, and I know this group understands that because you came here today, and that they are even more powerful than we think because they can help us understand things that are not within our line of sight. They can help us grow. They can help us see our place in the world, see others' place in the world, learn to love our neighbors, give us a new world to live in. I highly recommend reading books, and thank you for coming to this presentation.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.